You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to the fourth of our four podcasts on ulcerative colitis hosted by Med Learning Group, titled Histologic Remission as a Treatment Target in Ulcerative Colitis. Is it ready for prime time? This series is intended to meet the educational needs of gastroenterologists, nurse practitioners, physician assistants who treat patients with ulcerative colitis, in addition to the patients who have the condition. My name is Dave Chapman, your host for this podcast series. In today's episode, we'll be discussing and reviewing the patient's experiences and views on this condition. Joining me today is patient advocate Abby. Good morning, Abby.
Hi, good morning, Dave.
I'd like to start off with a few questions, Abby, to just hear from you and your experience with ulcerative colitis. First, can you walk us through your journey with ulcerative colitis from the time of, say, initial diagnosis until now?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to start off, I was really, really young when I was diagnosed. I was 2 years old. So I was too small to understand what was going on at the time. It was mostly my parents handling everything and like me just being a good kid and following instructions. I was actually diagnosed in Boston. And after that, as I started to grow up, I started to just actually understand what was going on. And I started to just notice my limitations, notice my symptoms. And also I started to gain control of my diagnosis and I started to gain control of my treatment. So it's been quite a journey. It's been a journey of 20 years, believe it or not.
I'm curious, Abby, when did you recall, I mean, how would that transition since you were diagnosed so young between your parents, I suppose, directing what you can do, what you can't do, and caring for yourself? And then at one point, did you sort of transition into, okay, I need to do this, or they say, Abby, this is your responsibility?
So I think it was really just a smooth transition. I was also really, really lucky to grow up with parents that did not see my diagnosis as anything that would limit me in anything throughout my life. So even like growing up, like if I was not feeling well that day, let's say I wanted to go to school, and I was not feeling well, my dad would go like, okay, like go to school. If you're still not feeling well, I'll pick you up. Or if I wanted to go to a camping trip, it was like, go to a camping trip. If you're not feeling well, I'll pick you up. And I think it was really, really a slow transition. I can't say that I noticed when it happened. Like medications and stuff, I actually learned how to give myself shots and injections when I was 10 years old. And I think that was the point where my parents just let me have a little bit more responsibility throughout my medications and my nutrition and everything. They still checked that everything was in order and then I did what I needed to do. And I think the point that I just to complete control of everything. And I just asked for help when I needed it was when I turned 16.
That's great that you had such supportive parents and that it sounds like it was a smooth transition. I'm curious, Abby, what concerned you most about your ulcerative colitis? And were your concerns addressed by your healthcare team?
I think the thing that concerned me the most, well, a couple of things actually. I mean, my diagnosis was pretty bad at the beginning. And I think one of my biggest concerns was that I was never going to be able to be normal and to act like a normal kid or like a normal adult. And I was going to always have limitations. I think that was my biggest concern. And it was addressed by my health team, which has been actually changing throughout my life. And thank God, when I was 21, we actually got to the perfect combination between medication, diet, and lifestyle for me to be able to function normally.
Oh, great. Yeah, that sounds like the team, as you said, since you were diagnosed at such a young age, that you went through a number of healthcare practitioners over your lifespan. I'm curious, with that in mind, how would you describe the course of treatment and how has that changed?
Wow, yeah, absolutely. So I think my course of treatment has also changed as medicine has grown and expanded. So again, as I started really, really young, I went through, I think, every medication on the market. My mom even had me on like every single diet, possible diet that she found on books. She found on the, like someone recommended it, and then the internet came and like she Googled everything. So yeah, the course of treatment was really interesting in my case. My parents even, I think they took me to shamans like in Mexico to try to like see if like the energetic and like the holistic side of it could help. That was a really, really interesting one. Can't deny that one. Yeah, they wrapped me up like a little taquito, and like I couldn't move for like 3 days to like the energies like just came into my body. It was really weird. I think that's the one that I remember the most because I was like, what is going on? But like throughout like the whole thing, like I went through like sulfas, I went to biologics, I went through everything. I think like they changed me through Remicade to Humira to Stelara, like everything. And then when I was around 13, I actually, my body became dependent on prednisone to kind of function and to like be in remission. So at some point they made the decision that like it was not doable, it was not healthy, and I went through a full colectomy. So I now have a J pouch that was actually supposed to get rid of the whole thing, but I was one of the cases where that turned into pouchitis. Still on medication, still trying like new things. Again, the treatment, it's exactly the same as like ulcerative colitis. They still count it as ulcerative colitis, except now I don't have a colon.
Now, you mentioned that you went through, you know, a number of different medications. Was that because they weren't helping you or because there was a side effect that was just too onerous, sort of like prednisone, or why were those changes made? Do you recall?
Some of them, they changed because they were not helping. Some of them because of the side effects. I do recall I was at some point in a mix between Imuran and Humira. And I got a phone call from the doctor saying, like, I need you to stop Imuran, like, right away, because your liver right now, it's, like, super, super, super inflamed. And if I don't stop it, like, I'm going to, cause another problem. So that's one of the reasons that I stopped that medication. So it really did depend on the medication levels, if it was working or not, the amount of flares that I was having, and also the side effects.
I'm curious, now you mentioned as a dietitian, I mean, how have you been able to apply your training to your ulcerative colitis? And are there any quick pointers for those in the audience who aren't trained as you are?
Yeah, absolutely. So funny enough, my first undergrad was in graphic design because I was so afraid to get into nutrition or medicine or anything that had to do with my body because I lived with it my whole life and I just didn't want to deal with it. And then at some point, I started to discover that my diet had a huge, huge impact on my health. And as I discovered that, I really wanted to learn more. So I started training as a dietitian. I have now a mastering like clinical nutrition, and I'm now studying plant medicine to see if I can find anything else in the other side, as you can say it. And yeah, absolutely. Some of the pointers that I can give is diet is so fundamental. It's so underrated. It's underestimated. We don't understand the impact that it has on our day-to-day life. And when we start to discover the few things that like can cause us flares, we can start like to turn that around. So one of the pointers that I can give, like just straight up, is follow a Mediterranean diet. It means being on fruit, vegetables, greens, nuts, whole grains, actually, if you can, if your body can absorb them, that will be great. Low on dairy, low on processed foods, low on fried foods. All of that can actually cause a flare and can cause irritation. So the easier that you can actually digest, in my case, for me, I discovered that if I became plant-based, that was actually helping me absorb food better. And I started having less flares. And it's been 10 years since I became plant-based. And that actually really, really helped a lot because I was having trouble digesting animal foods. That being said, I'm not going to deny that like sometimes I do eat like something that has eggs or that has dairy or fish, because I do. I don't like restricting myself too much, but my diet hugely, hugely changed the course of my disease.
Mm-hmm. No, that's really helpful. I have another question. Have you had the opportunity to be involved in your care as much or as little as you desired? And how has that happened? And any advice regarding interactions with your healthcare team?
So I started to take care of myself at some point. And then when I started studying, I was like, okay, I completely understand what's going on right now. And now I can actually also understand what like my healthcare provider is trying to say. So right now, what I try to do is like work with them and say like, okay, so I'm taking A, B, and C, and then I'm eating this. This is the type of diet that I'm at. This is what I feel that it's working. This is what I feel that it's not working. And even like in cases of medications where I had like one or two times that like my healthcare provider was like, okay, I need to put you in prednisone again. I was like, okay, can we work around like other options? I think one of the things that we don't understand is that healthcare providers are so happy to work with us to actually get to the point that we're comfortable, but it's also working. And it's just so important to actually document, if you can, on a notebook or anything, what's working, what's not working. Even if it's like the stupidest thing, like, okay, like this exercise worked, this exercise didn't work, this food actually caused a flare or not. These are my labs. And then when you come to your healthcare provider, you actually like know what's going on with yourself. So you can actually have a conversation that it's bilateral instead of like just on their side telling you what to do.
Right. No, I think that's really helpful. And it sounds like you've had a great relationship with your team and you've been really proactive and interactive throughout the course.
The only thing that I just wanted to add is that for everyone listening, the point where you start to see as your UC as something that it's part of you, but it doesn't dominate you, that's the point where everything starts to just turn around and starts to get better. So don't see your UC as a problem, because it's not a problem. It's a part of you. And it also just, it's going to shape your life.
Thanks so much for your insights, Abby. This concludes the fourth in our series of four podcasts titled Histological Remission as a Treatment Target in Ulcerative Colitis. Is it ready for prime time? This is the last podcast in our Ulcerative Colitis series. We hope that this series has been a source of information and education that will be valuable to you as either a healthcare professional or a patient. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I would like to give a special thank you to our supporter, Lily, who provided an educational grant for this activity.